Begin the current daf, Masechta Tzivachim daf Hey. Begin three lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, discussing the opening halacha of our Masechta, of our Mishnah, which spoke about the Kol HaTzivachim Shenizbuchu Shaloi Lishman, K'sherin B'loi Ol L'Bayal M'Shem Chayva. That, if, let's say, Karban Oyel or Karban Shlamim is sacrificed not for its namesake. Let's say someone had in mind by the Oyel rather that it should be a Shlamim, so the carbon is valid, one could throw the blood, one could eat the parts, the sacrificial parts could be sacrificed, but it doesn't fulfill the obligation of the owner, he would have to bring a new carbon. Now, on that, the Gemara had introduced a source for that halacha from Mitzvah Vesechet Tishmer that tells us that although it's not going to fulfill the obligation of his nether, but it's going to be considered like a nedava. Now, regarding that teaching, says the Gemara the following incident. Rami Rish Lakish al-Ma'ahi. Rish Lakish was laying on his stomach with his face towards the ground, in the Beit Midrash, in the study hall, Umakshin, he was asking the following question. Im kisherim heim, if, like our Mishnah opened up and said, besides Chatos and Pesach, if a carbon that's brought Shalal Lishma is kosher, mean to say one could do all the rest of the services to the carbon, so yiratzu, so then it should provide atonement. It should be considered willing and fulfilling the obligation of the owner. And then Eimaratzin Lama Bain. And if it's not, as we said in the Mishnah, it's not Olubam Shem Chayba, then why are the carbonas brought? Because as Rashi explains, Rish Lakish didn't yet know the Gemara that we just brought right before this from the previous daf, that the reasoning of our Mishnah is based on the pasuk of Mitzvah Vesechet Tishmer, which tells us that even if one is not doing it in the fulfillment of his neder, but it's still going to be considered like a nedava, which is still a valid carbon. So his question was, then, Mamanavshach, if it's meratza, if it's not meratza, why is it come? And if it's kasher, then why isn't it meratza? So Amalei Rabbi Lazar said, to, in the Gersa says, Rabbi Lazar, the Amira, he said to Rish Lakish, he says, what's your question? Metzinu b'boin la'achamisa, we find karbanis that are brought after the owner's death, shehen kisherin, where the karban is kosher, meaning we sacrifice it, ve'ei meratzin, and there's no atonement for the one who died because the person's already dead, so it cannot provide atonement for him, he's already in the next world. So therefore, says Rabbi Lazar, you can't ask such a question. Your whole question is flawed. Your question was, well, if it's kasher, then there should be meratzah. Says, no, I'll show you certain cases where it's kasher, like after a person died, and it's not meratzah. Does not like learn the Mishnah Masechtas Kinah. Says Rabbi Lazar, the Mishnah says, Haisha, a woman, which is talking about a yeledis, a woman who gave birth, who has to bring certain karbanas, shevichatasa umesa. There's two karbanas she has to bring. She already brought the karmachatas, but then she passed away. Says the Mishnah, Yeviu Yershin Eilasa. So her inheritors, they bring her next carbon, which she was supposed to bring, but she passed away, her carbon Eila. Now, Eilasa Ume, so let's say she brought her carbon Eila, and then she died, Lo Yeviu Yershin Chatasa, then they don't bring her carbon Chatas. That's for a different reason. That's Halacha Lamesh Mesinai, that Chatas Shemesu Ba'alau, carbon Chatas, that the owner passed away, that's Lamisa Asla, goes to its death. But that's a unique Halacha regarding carbon Chatas. But one thing you see, that the carbon Eila, they're going to bring, after she passed away, that it's kosher, even though it's not being meratza, because she's already dead. So therefore, that undoes your question, which was based on the logic of, if it's kosher, it should be meratza, you see not. So Amalei, so Rish Lakish said to him, says, Maidina lach ba'ayla, says, yeah, I agree to you by carbon ayla, where if we're slaughtered shalei lishma, that then it should be sacrificed, even though it's not going to be meratz, it's not going to be providing, fulfilling the obligation of the one who's supposed to bring it. Yes, since like you just brought me that we see, the asi l'achamisa, that it is brought after the woman's death, even though it's not providing atonement for her, because she's already dead. And then, yeah, the same thing would apply to shlamim and all the other kabbanis, except for chatas, because like we said, a chatas cannot be brought la'achas shemesa ba'la, and also, as we said in the Mishnah, karma chatas actually pasul if it's brought shalei lishma. But says Rish Lakish, my question is, asham, a guilt offering, the loyasi lachar misa, where it's not brought after the owner's death, because the Gemara says in Tamur Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, wherever you have a situation that by the Karma Chatas it dies, which includes Shemesu Ba'aleh when the owner dies, so becoming asham, the loch is a raya, it cannot be sacrificed, it has to go out to graze, it doesn't die, until it develops a blemish, and then it's sold, and then you use the money. But the carbon asham is not brought after the owner's death. So then says Rish Lakish, Minolan. So how do you know regarding a carbon asham that it's going to be sacrificed? I mean, you could do the rest of that avodah when it's let's say with slaughtered shalei lishma, but since it's not meratza, now the difficulty is because the Tana only excludes two cases that says that it's shalei lishma, it's going to be pasul. You can't even do, forget about being oil b'ayim shem chayv, you can't even do the rest of the avodah. Pesach echatas. But why, says Rish Lakish, a third one should be included, which is a carbon asham. Because your whole logic of proving my question wrong was because it could be brought la'achamisa. So you see that even though it's not meratzeh, it's kosher, but that's all the other kabbanas. Asham is not brought la'achamisa. So where do you find a precedent to say that by an asham, if it's not being meratzeh, that's going to be kosher? If it's not meratzeh, you shouldn't even be able to bring it. So Amalei, Rabbi Elazar responded to Resh Lakish. He says, yeah, good question. Harei machlokuscha, your disagreement, meaning there's a support for what you're saying, but see, they're right there on the side, because our Mishnah continues, and there's Rabbi Eliezer, who's like you. Because the Mishnah said, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, he says, Afa Asham. He says, yeah, not just Chatas and Pesach, but also the Karban Asham is also not going to be brought. It's going to be Pasul. That's like your logic, because since we don't find the precedent that it's going to be brought when there's not Meratzah, so here, with not being Meratzah, it's not going to be brought. That Omer, Resh Lakish said, Zehu Sha'im Nalav Adam Gadlahu. He's the one, meaning Rebbe Lazar the Amar, who he's having a discussion with, is regarding him, they say he's a great person. Kamina no Mishnah Shlema. I was talking about a whole Mishnah, meaning an anonymous Mishnah of the Tanna Kama, who only invalidates a Chatas and a Pesach. V'ad Amarli Rebbe Eliezer, and you're telling me, but there's another Tanna Rebbe Eliezer? That wasn't my point. I was asking according to Tanna Kama, who only invalidates a Chatas and a Pesach. Why? Asham should also be invalid, because we don't, it's since not Meratzah, and we don't find another place where if it's not Meratzah is brought, so it shouldn't be brought. So Elam Resh Lakish, rather Resh Lakish says, Eftach ano pischel nafsho. He says, I'm going to find an opening for myself to answer my question that where do we know, why would it be that you would sacrifice to Asham if it's not being Meratzah? And that's what he quotes the pasuk that we brought in the previous staff, where it says, Meitzes v'secha v'gaymer, that what comes out of your lips, etc., the end of the pasuk, you should fulfill that neder as was vowed. And then the pasuk says, and it calls it a nedava asher debarta beficha. The question is, hai nedava? This is not a donated carbon. Nederhu, it's a vow. Hulu, etc., which kedilel, like we had said this whole drasha previously, which was rather, the Gemara had said, the way you have to read the pasuk is, if it's kasha nedarta, if you bring the carbon as you vowed, which is you do it lishma, then it's going to be fulfillment of the vow. But if you did it shalai lishma, it's not kasha nedarta, then it's not going to fulfill the obligation of the one who's bringing it, but it's going to be like a nedava, which is that it's still going to be kasha. So you see, the pasuk itself is teaching that even though it's not being meratzah, it's still going to be kasha. Now, regarding this discussion between Resh Lakish and Rebbe Elazar, the Gemara has different amiram who discussed their discussion. Yasav Reb Zera, Reb Yitzchak Bar Abba, and Yasav Abaye Gabaye, and Abaye was sitting with these two other Amiram, but Yasav Kami, they were sitting and they were saying, they're wondering regarding this response of Resh Lakish. Because Kashi Leil Resh Lakish Asham. Resh Lakish had a difficulty with the carbon Asham. He wanted to know, why is it being sacrificed, the rest of the carbon, if let's say we slaughtered Shalei Lishma, if it's not going to be Meratz, it's not going to provide a fulfillment for the obligation of the owner. And he said, moreover, the Lo Yasa L'Achamisa, you don't find a precedent by Asham like all the other carbonas that it can be brought after a person's death. It's not. So if it's not, being meratzah, so why is it being brought? On that, v'nasav lo tamuda, maitzah sevesecha, and then what did he answer? He answered from the pasuk, maitzah sevesecha, where you find that the pasuk tells you that even if you're not getting ritzu, you're not fulfilling your obligation, it's still going to be kosher like a nedava. On that, they asked, eima haba b'neder nedava, maybe say the pasuk is only talking about something that is brought as a vow or as a donation, like the simple translation of the pasuk seems to be talking about, something that could be a neder or a nedava. Then, laisi b'lilirtzi, then you'll bring it even though you're not going to get appeasement with it, where the owner's not going to be fulfilling his obligation. But asham l'laisi klal, but an asham, you shouldn't bring it all. How could you bring it from the pasuk mitzvah secha? An asham is a chiyuv, it's not something that can be brought as a neder or a nedava. So how could you say that pasuk is a source for asham, that even though you're not getting ritzui, but it's still being brought? So Amar Abaye, Abaye said to them, you're right. Resh Lakish did not learn out from the pasuk of Maitzis of Asecha that the Asham is sacrificed. Rather, what he learns out from that is actually that there's no ritzui. And where do you know that you actually sacrifice the Asham? Mahacha Pasach. He was opening up from a different pasuk in Vayikra. It says, V'shachat oisa l'chatas, that you should slaughter it for karbachatas, which the word it, oisa, is an exclusionary term. To say that there are certain unique halachas to chatas, which is oisa l'shma k'shera, shalei l'shma psula. That only by karma chatas is it only going to be kasher if it's l'shma, but if it's shalei l'shma, it's going to be pasul, which actually the Gemara learns it out later on from this pasul. Hashar kachim, but regarding other kachim, which includes anything else but the karma chatas, including an asham, shalei l'shma and k'sherin. If it's shalei l'shma, it's going to be kasher. And that's where you know that it's being sacrificed. Now, on that, Yochel Yiratzus, and then if we already have that's being excluded from being pasul, because it's saying only Chatas is pasul in the Shalal Lishma, but everything else, including Ashram, is going to be kasher, so then you would think not only is it kasher, that it would even be providing appeasement and atonement for the one who has to bring the Ashram, even though it was done Shalal Lishma. That's what he was bringing from the pasuk and Meitzus of Asecha, that you see that no, if you don't do it Kashen Nedarta as you were supposed to, then it's not going to be considered like a Ned, it's not going to be the appeasement, but we're not learning out that it could be brought from there, because actually it's being, we know it's being, that you could be sacrificed from the other pasuk. But still the Gemara asks, how do you even learn that the second part from that pasuk, the Ema, but you should say, Habob, Benedo, Benedava, a carbon that could be brought as a vow or a donation, that that's something that can be brought, even though there's no appeasement. But Asham, Artsuyinami Lirtzi, but a carbon Asham, since we know that it's sacrificed because it's being excluded from being possible from the word Isa by the Karmachatas, so then, since we know from that it's sacrificed, so then actually it should even have a Ritzui, because you can't learn out from the Pasuk of Meitzes Vesach, because that Pasuk is not talking about things like Asham, which are an obligation. It's only things that regarding that the Nedava, that if you don't do as you're supposed to, that it's not providing Ritzui. So actually an Asham should even be Ritzui. And that Abaye says, no, Asham Demiratzi limits his Amr. You cannot say that a common Asham that was slaughtered or had another Avodah Shalei Lishma, that not only is it going to be kosher to sacrifice, but even to provide a Ritzui, because Kavochaymer Ma'ila. It's a Kavochaymer from a common Ayla. Because Oma Ayla Shein Mechaperes, carbon oila that doesn't even provide atonement. It's a more lighter carbon. Doesn't have as a severe category. Still in the Meratze, still, if it was slaughtered Shalei Lishma, it's not going to provide a ritzui and appeasement for the person. Like we said before, that from the pasuk of Meitzes Vesech, we learn out that if it's not done kashen nedarta, then it's only going to be like an adava and not fulfilling the neder. So Ashram Shemachapas, regarding a carbon Ashram that provides atonement for certain negative prohibitions that are written in the Torah of Shavuos HaPikaton, where he swears falsely that it doesn't have someone's deposit, or Hekdash, or Shivcha Charufa, so in the Din Shein Meratze, isn't it a Kabbal Chaymer, that for sure, if you already have a flaw of Shalei Lishma, that for sure it's not going to provide appeasement, and therefore, you cannot say, yeah, you can't learn it off of Meitzes HaPasecha, but from a Kabbal Chaymer, we'll say that's not going to be Meratze if it's done Shalei Lishma. And that is the Gemara, but how can you learn out from Oila like a Kabbal Chaymer? But Oila has a certain stringency, and therefore maybe it's stringent in that when it's done Shalei Lishma, it's not Ritzui, but Ashram that does not have that stringency, maybe actually when it's brought Shalei Lishma, it actually is going to provide Ritzui. What's the stringency of Oila? Shekin Kal, because totally burnt, all the parts are burnt on the Mizbeach in contrast to Ashram. So that's the stringency of Oila. So the Gemara, no, Shlom Yechichu. Shlom will disprove that. Shlom does not have this stringency, and still, it's not doesn't provide ritzui, and therefore you see that's not the fact about that. Has to come on malah shlamim. But how could you learn that asham shlamim? It also has a stringency. Shekin to unin nesachim or to nufas chazav v'shaik. It needs certain libations, which pouring liquids on the mizbeach, and you have to elevate the thigh and the breast part of the animal. And we don't include what many times is included by asham that of in shlam that of smicha. Actually, asham also requires smicha. But at least these elements, shlam is more severe. So maybe that's why shlam when the shalei lishma does not have ritzah. But maybe asham that does not have this stringency would actually have ritzah. And that says Gemara, no, oila techich. Oila would disprove that because oila does not have those stringencies, and yet still it's not meratza. So b'chazra din. So the logic goes back. Le rizeh kirizeh, le rizeh kirizeh. Each one's stringencies cannot be the reason why you say it has the stringency of when it's done Shalei Lishma not providing Ritzui, because the other one that does not have the stringency yet still has that invalidation by Shalei Lishma. So Hatzara Shavah Shaven, so we go with the common denominator of both of them, Shein Kachim, that these are things of Karbanis, V'shachtin Shalei Lishma Kshen, when it's slaughtered Shalei Lishma, it's going to be Kasher, and still Ve'im Meratzin, that does not provide Ritzui. So Afin the Avi Hashem, so therefore I'm also going to include a Karban Hashem, Shu Kaidish, which is a Karban. V'shachta Shalei Lishma Kasha, when it's slaughtered Shalei Lishma, it's Kasha as we brought, because only by Chatas do we say, Aysa, it is Pasha Shalei Lishma, everything else but Hashem is going to be Kasha. And therefore, Ve'ina Maratza, from that Tzara Shava of the two of them, will say that it's not going to provide Ritzui. And that is the Gemara, but Ma'ala Tzara Shava Shaban, but what do we find by the common denominator of both Oil and Shlam? A stringency that maybe that's why they have the stringency of Shalei Lishma not providing Ritza in contrast to Ashram. Shekin Yeshne B'tzibur. An Oila, which many times every carbon tamid is a carbon tzibur of an Oila. And even by Shlamim, you have a carbon Shlam that's brought by the tzibur, which is on Shavuos. The Kivsi Atzeres, the lambs brought on Shavuos, are Shlamim. And conscious Asham, you never bring an Asham of a Tzibur. So maybe since there's a stringency that the Tzibur brings those karbanas, maybe that's why you'll have the not having Ritzli by Shalal Lishmoy contrast to Asham. So it's like, no, Taida Techech. A carbon Taida, Thanksgiving offering, will disprove that, where that's not something that's brought by Tzibur. And yet still it's something like we proved before that all the karbanas, we only had a question regarding Asham, because all the other karbanas could be brought Lachar Misa, where it's going to be Kashri, even without Ritzli, and therefore we'll learn out Asham from Taida. But that Gemara continues on the base and says, but wait, Mala Taida, maybe you can't learn now from Taida, Shekein Tuna Lechem. It has a stringency that it requires bread, unlike all the other Karbanas. So maybe Ashram that does not have the stringency actually would be even providing Ritzu in the Tanshul Elishma. Says the Gemara, no, Oyle B'Shlam Meichichu. They'll disprove that they don't have bread, and yet you have the stringency of Shul Elishma not having Ritzu. B'chazar Adin, so the logic goes back. Lei Rizek Rizek, Bli Rizek Rizek. Each one's characteristic is not like the other ones of the stringency. So what's the common denominator that we'll find by all of them to say why are they all having this not ritzi by shalei lishma? Is shein kachin, their kabanas. If a shachna shalei lishma kachin, if they slaughtered shalei lishma, they're kasher. Veinim ratzin, still they don't provide ritzi. Afan the avi asham, so they'll include asham. From the common denominator of all these, ayil shlamim, taida, shu kaidish, where it's holy. The shachna shalei lishma kasher, and when it's slaughtered shalei lishma, it's kasher. Veinim ratzin, and therefore it does not have ritzi. And that is the Gemara, but still, Mala Tzara Shavash Ben, there's a certain stringency that all of them have in the common denominator, which Asham does not have, Shein Boin B'Nedem Nedava. They could all be brought a Nedem Nedava. Oila, Shlamim, and a Taida could all be brought through a vow or a Nedava, in contrast to Asham. So maybe Asham would provide Ritzli. Say, Elam Rava, rather, Rava says from a Pasuk in B'Yikra, a different source. It says in the Pasuk, Zaysat Tayyar V'Gaymer, which we brought to this Pasuk in the previous daf, where it's etc. It mentions all the different karbanas all in one Pasuk. So Hikisha Akasa, the Pasuk is equating a carbon ashram, which is mentioned there in that Pasuk, Lishlamim, which is mentioned there at the end of the Pasuk. And even though we said that, wait a second, Shlamim and all those karbanas have certain stringencies more than Asham, but there's a Talmudic dictum called Emeshivan al Hekesh. You cannot ask on the Hekesh. If the Pasuk is equating it, even though logically we would differentiate, you can't differentiate. And therefore we make the following Hekesh. Ma Shlamim Shein Kachim. Just like carbon Shlamim, that's a carbon. B'shachna Shlamim Shein Ve'imiratzen. When the slaughtered Shalei Lishma, it's going to be kosher. You could bring the rest of the carbon, but it's not going to provide atonement and fulfillment for the obligation of the owner. Afani Asham, Shehu Kaidish V'chulu. I'm therefore also going to include Asham, because the Pasuk equates it to Shlamim, which has that halacha, that although it's sacrificed, but it's not going to have Ritzu. Now that is the Gemara. My Chaz is the actual Lishlamim. That Pasuk that we're talking about, V'zei Satara, talks about all the different karbanas. So why you see fit to compare Ashram to Shlamim to say this Hekesh, Akash L'Chatas, maybe equate it to Chatas that's mentioned there in the Pasuk and say just like Chatas actually when Shalei Lishma it's Pasul, so to Ashram would be Pasul. So it's like, Mara, no, you can't say the Hamid Rahman Isa. Already said in Amar Aleph that the Pasuk says only it, by Chatas, it is going to be unique that when it's Shalei Lishma it's going to be Pasul. In contrast to all other kabbalists, and that's how we know that Ashram is not Pasul, it's rather kosher. So we can't compare it to Chatzis because it's different. So therefore we're going to compare it to Shlamim and say just like Shlamim is sacrificed, even though it's Shalei Lishma, but it's not going to have Ritzu, so to Ashram, although it's sacrificed, like we said, we know it from Isa, so too, it's not going to be providing Ritzu like it is by the Karban Shlamim. Now the Gemara continues with a siman and a manik for the next two groupings of Amiram of Hagash Basar. So the Gemara continues with the same theme that the Amiram were sitting and discussing the dialogue between the Shlakish and Rebbe Lazar. So Yosef Rav Huna Rav Nachman and the Yosef Rav Sheshes Gabayu. So to hear you have two Amiram and another one sitting with them. The Yosef Rav Kami, they were sitting and they were saying as follows. Kasha the Shlakish. Shlakish had a difficulty. He wanted to know, Asham deloy asi lachamisa. What are you going to do? He said, look, Rebbe Lazar, I get it. Ayla, all those other karbanas where they brought lachamisa. So although there's no Ritzuk, the person's already dead, but you see it's going to be sacrificed even without Ritzuk, so I can understand the same thing would be by Shalei Lishma. But Ashram, which is not brought after the person's death, we don't have a precedent to find that it's sacrificed even though there's no Ritzuk. So then therefore, why is it sacrificed if there's no Ritzuk? On that they ask, Lemele Rebbe Laza, why didn't Rebbe Laza just respond to Rish Lakish's question that actually Ashram Nami, Asila Chamisa, what are you talking about? An Ashram is brought even after the owner's death. What does that mean? The Ashram actually is not brought. No, it is in a certain sense, because a carbon asham that the owner passed away before it was brought, the halacha is that it's roya. The animal goes out to graze. Then it develops a blemish. Then they sell the animal, and the monies that were gotten from that sale are used for what's called kaitz mizbeach, which is when the mizbeach is not being used, when there's no karbanas being brought, then they bring those karbanas and they bring it as a carbon ayla. So the asham is brought la'achamisa, even though there's no ritzui. So why didn't you just answer that? What are you talking about? It actually is Berlacha Mesa. What's your question? So that Amalahu Rav Shesha said to them, no. Asham Lamai Karv. For what utility is the carbon Asham brought? Not the Asham itself, like we said. It's Lamaisarai. It's for the leftovers, meaning the money that is gotten from the sale of the blemished Asham that went out to graze. That money is used as a donated carbon to the Mizbech. And that, he says, that obviously cannot be considered enough of La'achar Misa to say that you'll see that it's sacrificed even though there's no Ritzui, because Chatas Nami Mikra Karva Moisara. A Karma Chatas also has where its leftovers could be brought as a Nadava, as a Karban Eila. For example, in the case of someone who designates two Karbanes Chatas, he has to be a Chatas, he just wants to make sure for insurance purposes, he doesn't know if one of them, something will happen to one of them, so he designates two of them, in case something happens to one, he'll have the other one there. So the halach is, as the Gemara says, Masechta Yumin Daf Samachem and Aleph, so he gets the atonement, he brings one of them as a Karma Chatas, and the second one goes out to graze. Now, that case, that Karma Chatas, if the owner would pass away, the other animal would actually be sacrificed after that owner passed away, because he already had an atonement when he was still alive with the first one that he had designated. So therefore, the second one is not considered Chatas Shemesa Ba'ala, because it's not even considered Karma Chatas, it was just as an insurance one. So obviously you see that even the Karma Chatas is brought in such a case of its monies, La'achar Misa. And even so, we see that it's possible Shalo Lishma. So a Karman Ashram should also be possible. In other words, it's not a viable option that you're trying to say, oh no, an Ashram is brought La'achar Misa. And therefore, you could see that it's Kasher, even though there's no Ritzui. No, because Chatas has the same thing, that its monies are also brought. And yet Chatas we see is possible. So Ashram would still be in Rish Lakish's question, that Asham should be possible because you don't find that it's kosher without a Ritzui because its money is being brought is the same thing with Chatas, and that's obviously not enough to say that a Chatas will be kosher even though there's no Ritzui. And that is the Gemara back, but what are you talking about? Chatas, Avagaf, the Karva Maisara, but you're right, even though a Chatas, its monies are brought as a Karban Oila, its leftovers, even after the owner passed away, but Midrach Manahu, but we said before that the Torah excludes Chatas, that it's different than all the other karbanas. What? Where do we find this? Where is this pasuk? Who? By the Tsar of the Nasi, the king brings for his regular chatas, not like a yachad who brings a kispa seira, a she-goat or a she-lamb. He brings a Tsar, a he-goat, and by the slaughtering of his karban, it says in the Yikra Perek Dalad, v'shachar oisei b'mokam asher yishchar asa oila lefnei Hashem, chatas hu. It should be slaughtered in the place where the oila is before Hashem. It's a chatas. What do you mean chatas hu? Is that it should be slaughtered for the purposes of being a karma chatas. And if not, it's going to be pasul. How do we see that from the pasuk? Because the word hu sounds like what's called b'havayasi yehei. It should be in its essential being. Meaning to say, if it is in what it is, which is a chatas, then it's kasher. If not, it's going to be pasul. And this is actually the source of where we know that a chatas, which that's the halachas we said in our Mishnah, unlike all the other kabbanas, which are kasher, just not all about Hashem chayva, chatas is going to be pasul. We're learning that from this pasuk, as the Gemara says later on the perek, and of Yudim and Beis. So therefore, ask the Gemara back, so it is different than Asham, meaning maybe it's difficult. Why didn't he answer Rabbi Elazar that what he told me, Rish Lakish, Asham is brought La'acha Misa, and therefore you do find such a precedent. Now although Chatas also is, but still the Pasuk is excluding it and saying that when you can't use that as a precedent to say it's kosher and just not providing Ritzui, because the Torah explicitly says that the Karma Chatas is not going to be kosher if it's being done Shaloi Lishma. But Asham, where you don't have a Gzeis HaKasav, should be kosher from that precedent where it's Maisari is in the Dava Lachamisa. On that answer, the Gemara back, no, Asham Namik Sebehu. Asham also, in Parashat Tzav, when it says, V'hiktir HaMizbech, he should sacrifice HaMizbech, Ish LaHashem, Asham Hu, which is telling you the same thing like you say Bechatas. When it's brought for it as an Asham, then it's kosher. If not, it's going to be Pasal. So therefore, Asham is the same as Bechatas, and therefore he could not have answered that. On that, ask the Gemara back, which according to our Girsa and Rashi, is they stay with a question that seemingly Rabbi Elazar could have answered this answer and saying that no, Asham is brought La'achar Misa. How so? With Maisari as in the Dava. And although Chatas also is, but Chatas has Gzeis HaKasav. And although Asham also says who, on that says the Gemara, no. Hahu La'acha Haktaris Emurim Hu Dechsev. Although Asham has the word who also, but where does it say the word who? It says that after the sacrificing of the sacrificial parts, certain parts, the fats of the animal, were sacrificed in the Mizbeach, where that you can't learn out from that who, that only if it's exactly as it's supposed to be, when it's Lishma, then it's Kasher, but if it's Lishma, then it's going to be Pasul. Why not? Ketan, like, learn the Brisa later on in the first parak, says, Aval Asham, Leinema by who? By Ashram, it doesn't say who like Chatas. Ela la'acha akhtar se'murim. It only says it after the sacrificial parts are sacrificed. Now, you cannot say that you learn out from there, oh, so it says who by the sacrifice and the sacrificial parts. It's telling you that it's only if it's done lishma that it's going to be kosher. Who bav yosiye, but if not, it's going to be posel. You can't say that. Why? Because of who atzmoi, because the sacrificing of the sacrificial parts themselves, im lohik tirei murin kosher, even if one doesn't sacrifice the sacrificial parts, it's still going to be kosher, because the primary atonement of a carbon is by its blood. So therefore, you can't say, oh, you see it says who, it's got to be bav yase. What are you talking about? If you do it shaloi lishma, it's not going to validate the carbon. Why not? Because if you don't even bring the emurim, it's not even going to be ma'akev in the kapara. Because you already did the zrikas hadam. So therefore, we cannot learn that from that who to say, bav yase hey, to say that asham is just like khatas, and say that it's going to be pasal. And although Rashi brings that, it does say actually by asham, Kaidish Kaddishim who, and that pasuk in Biyukav Vav is before the slaughtering, can't learn that from that who. Because you can't understand from that who that it should have to be lishmai, only if it's written with the name of the carbon. For example, Chatas who, Asham who, or when it's written by one of the Avodas Adam. Here where it's just written Kaddish Kaddishim who, from that who you can't learn that anything, and therefore the Gemara remains and says that really Rabbi Elazar could have answered to Rish Lakish that what are you asking? Asham is also something that's brought lachamisa, at least in its monetary form, and although achatas, as we said, is also, but chatas has exists because it excludes, and ashram doesn't have, because it's who is only lachik tarzimaran, and therefore, that would answer Rish Lakish's question. He could have also said that, besides his answer that he gave, which, as we explained before. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, like we're remaining with this question, or at least this approach, that Rabbi Elazar could have answered that too, so ve'elohu lamali. So then actually, then what does who by ashram teach? You're saying we can't learn out from ashram who, to say that it's just like chatas hu, that it's only if it's lashma that's kasha, but shalai lashma it's going to be pasal, because not by v'yasiyeh, because in Asham, the hu is already after the main parts of the avoida, and therefore it's not going to invalidate even as it's done shalai lashma, because even if you don't do it at all, it's not going to be pasal. But then why does it say the word hu? So it's the Gemara, that's like Rav Huna Marav. So Rav Huna Marav, he says the following halacha, which is based on this pasuk of Asham hu. Asham shenitik l'ri'iyah. Carbon Asham that was removed to be sent and graze. Meaning if, let's say, the carbon ashram, its owner passed away, or he got an atonement with a different carbon. So we remove the carbon ashram from its status of being sacrificed to ashram, because we're not bringing it anymore, to go out in the graze, where the court says, go out and put it into pasture. Ushacha toistam, it says, Rav, let's say, after it went out to graze, they went and they took it and they slaughtered it for a carbon, without having any intention for what it's for. Says Rav, kosher. It's going to be kosher as a carbon oila, since ultimately that was its intention, meaning initially what's supposed to be done is it goes at the graze, develops a blemish, then they sell it, then with that money they buy a carbon oila. Here instead of that happening, they sent it out the graze, but then they took the whole animal and they slaughtered it as a carbon, as a carbon without saying what? It'll be kosher as a carbon oila, since ultimately that was what it was being designated for kites and mizbeach, which is a carbon oila. But one thing we see from Rav's halacha is nitik in. Only if it was uprooted the name of Asham from it, because when it's being sent to the shepherd, it's obviously we're saying, okay, it's not Asham anymore. We're going to send it on its process to become a carbon Ayla. So its default position now is that it should be an Ayla. So then, even if it didn't develop a blemish and they sacrificed it, okay, it'll be considered as an Ayla. But loy nitik loy. But if it wasn't removed to the shepherd, then we won't say that its assumption, its default position is going to be a carbon Ayla. My time, what's the reason? That because Amakra, the pasuk says, who? What does that mean? Bava yasa yehe. The ashram will be in its essential essence always until it's nitig l'ri'iyah, which means to say that even if the owner died, and you can't bring it as ashram, but until it's removed to be carbon ayla when it's sent to the shepherd, it will retain its status as a carbon ashram, and therefore it's going to be pasul because you can't bring it as a carbon ashram only if it was nitig l'ri'iyah, then it takes away from bava yasa yehe because it was minutik, it was already removed from it, only then will it be kosher as a carbon ayla. Now, continuing with the second grouping of Amiram that we had mentioned, discussing this conversation between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar, Yesvir Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes, and again, V'yasev Rav Adab HaMaslam HaGabayu. There's a third Amara sitting with those two. V'yasev HaKamri, they were sitting, and they said as follows. Hadakamri Rabbi Elazar, this said Rabbi Elazar said, in response to Rish Lakish's question, saying, hey, wait a second. You know, where do you find such a thing that if there's no Ritzui, that you can be able to bring it? So Rabbi Elazar said, Matzina B'bon L'Achamisa, we find by karbanas that are brought after the owner's death, shein k'sherin ve'imaratzen, where it's sacrificed, even though it's not providing ritzah. So the same thing over here by shalol lishma, even though there's no ritzah, it's going to be sacrificed. On that they ask, Lema Rish Lakish, why Rish Lakish respond, what are you talking about? Hanunami Laisa Belirtsu. What do you mean? These karbanas, even after the person died, it's not only being brought, it's also providing appeasement for who? The person's dead, for the Yarshim, for the inheritors. In contrast, how can you bring that as a source for Shalei Lishma, where it's not being Ritzah for anyone, then why is it being brought? Don't bring me a Rai from La'acha Misa, because although it's not going to be Ritzah for the one who passed away, but it will be for the inheritors who are bringing it. So that is Kasher and Ritzah. How can you bring a Rai to Shalei Lishma? So Amalein Ravad Bar Masna, he said to them, Yiledes, the carbon oila of a woman who gave birth, which is where Rabbi Elazar was bringing a proof from, which is that if the Yarshim are going to bring her Karban Ayla, what are you asking that they should bring it and get a Ritzah from that? Imhi Yalda, if the woman who died gave birth, so she has a Karban to bring, but now Miyalda, did her sons give birth? What does that mean? How could you say that it's going to provide a Ritzah for the sons? Obviously there's no Ritzah, and that's the case he was bringing a Raya from Rebbe Elazar, and therefore you see that even though there is no Ritzah at all, not for the one who passed away, not for the Yarshim, because they can't have a Ritzah of giving birth, because they didn't give birth, and therefore, obviously, you do have a proof, and therefore, it's not difficult under Belaza. On that mask of Ravasi asked, wait, why? Uman Lemelon, who's to tell us, let's say this woman who gave birth, let's say she violated many positive commandments, that who's to tell us that loy miskapra, that she would not get an atonement for all those violations of the positive commandments with the oil that she's bringing, if she would bring it when she was still alive? Meaning, carbon oil provides atonement if someone violates a positive commandment, or a negative prohibition that can be rectified by doing a positive commandment afterwards, like stealing, which you could do hashavas exil. Because as we learned in the Brisa regarding the oilis nadav and teres kainim, the pasuk says v'nirtzalai. What that teaches is that Hashem will be merutza to the person, will be appeased to the person. Regarding what will a person be appeased to Hashem by bringing a korban oila? If you're going to say it's things that he would be liable for Mises Bezdin or Mises B'di Shemayim or Karis or Malkus or Chatzas HaShamas, you can't say that because the Torah already says what the punishment is, which are those things. So what is a korban oila brought for? Only if for violating a positive commandment or Leisa Seich HaNitig Lase. So who's to tell us that when she brings her oila for the Yeledis, that the oila will not atone for all the things that an oila does for many mitzvahs say that she violated? Now, and if that's the case, that if she has violated many other positive commandments, she would get atoned by bringing this oil of Yeledis. So Yeshua Nam Mechapen, that's our question. So the inheritors, yeah, they didn't give birth, but the oil that they're bringing will be merutza for them for all the other positive commandments that they violated, just like she would get it. And that's our question, where what's the answer that Rebbe is giving? And you see, La'acha Misa, what do you mean? Rish Lakish should have said, La'acha Misa, there's also Ritzah. So there's no right to Shalei Lishma that we're saying in our Mishnah, that's Kashi, even though there's no Ritzah at all. So that asks the Gemara, Lememra de Kanyelhu? Is that to say, obviously based on the question that we're asking, that to say that the inheritors actually acquire the carbon when their father passed away and he left over an animal carbon, that you're asking that they should get a tum with that? You're saying that they actually acquired it and it's their carbon and should be providing a Ritzah for them? On that, as Sigmar Va'amar, Rabbi Yechon said, if someone left over a flower offering for his two sons and they passed away, so Lach is Kreva, it could still be sacrificed, because Ve'im Bay Shutfas, there's no partnership over here by the two sons. And the reason why we have to say that is because the Gemara says in Menachas Kaftal Mabez, every carbon can be brought in a partnership. The only one that cannot be is a carbon mincha, because it says it in the singular, the term nefesh. Now, on that as the Gemara, now if, as the question you're asking, that you want to say that the Yerushim inherited, and therefore that's why they should get Ritzui, and therefore that's the question that we were asking, that Shlaka should have asked in Rebbe Elazar, what are you proving from Achamis as Ritzui too? Well, that would then make these children into Shutfin, into partners. But then Nefesh HaMarachmana, then we have the problem, by Karban Mincha, it says, V'nefesh kisakev Karban Mincha, it says it in the singular. And then how could Rabbi Yechanan say that when two sons inherit their father who had a Karban Mincha, that they could bring it? But if they're the owners now, they're Shutfin, and Shutfin cannot bring a Karban Mincha. Obviously that they do not acquire it, which is not like you're trying to ask and say that Rabbi Shlokesh could have responded to Rabbi Elazar by saying that, oh, what do I mean, there is a Ritzah. What's a Ritzah? Their own Ritzah. Their own Ritzah, it's not their Karban. They don't acquire it, because if they did acquire it, then how would we understand this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan? On that responds the Gemara back, what? You're trying to tell me from Yechanan, V'loi kanyelahu, that the Yerushim do not acquire it? But I'll quote you from Rabbi Yechanan himself. Yechanan says, if someone leaves over an animal for his two sons, and they passed away, the halacha is kreva, so it can still be sacrificed, but there's no halacha of tmura that can be done to this carbon, which is when someone wants to swap the sanctity of the carbon to another animal, which actually does not do that, it actually just makes now both animals sanctified. Now, on that, ask the Gemara, I amit b'shlemek hanyelehu. If you say how we originally want to say in our question, that the Yarshan inherited, and that's why we wanted to say that, to have a ritzui, and therefore that's why Rish Lakish could have responded that back to Rabbi Lazar. So haynu de'im amirba. That's why we could understand that if, let's say, one of the Yarshan do tamura, that's not going to be a tamura. Why? The Havilu has the Girsas deshutfin, because that's owned by partners, because they actually own it themselves. And as the Gemara continues on top of Vav and Aleph, v'shutfin lo yimotzi mamir. Partners cannot do tamura, as the Braisa teaches, that every situation there could be tamura except from partners. Why? Because the whole parasha of tamura is written in the singular. Lo yachlufenu v'lo yomer oisai v'im hamer yomer, which tells you that only an individual could do tamura and not partners. So that would make sense, like we're saying. But if, like you're trying to ask on us, that you want to say from the other halacha of Rabbi Yechanan that the Yarshan did not inherit it, samuri nami limru, so then why does Rabbi Yechanan say in the halacha that there's no tamura? They should be allowed to do tamura. They don't own it. It's only owned by their father, individual, and their tamura should still apply. That answers the Gemara. No, shani hasam, there it's different, because no, although they do not acquire it, it's exeris akasiv that two Yarshan cannot do tamura on a carbon that their father had designated. Why? Because Amakar, the Pasuk of Yikra, when it talks about the Pasuk of tamura, it says imhamer yamer, that if swapping, he will swap. What's the double terminology? Is l'rabbis, it's a Yarish, comes to include even a Yarish, that he could do tamura. Now, on that is what we teach. That same Pasuk tells us, echad meimer v'ein shnayim amirin, that only one could do tamura and not two. Meaning, from this Pasuk of imhamer, is we learn out that a Yarish could do tamura to his father's carbon. Because we says imhamer yamer to include a Yarish. Now, it could have said im yamer, and it says imhamer yamer, so includes the Yarish. Now, in this Pasuk, it says it in the singular to say that even a Yarish that could do from his father's carbon, yeah, that he does not acquire that as his father's, but only when he's one Yarish, not two Yarish. So therefore, the Gemara retains its answer that says, no, Rish Lakish could not have answered that to Rabbi Lazar, because actually, the halacha is that the Yarshan do not inherit it, and therefore they do not get Ritzu. And although this other halacha, Rabbi Yechanan, that doesn't tell us that they acquire it, it's even if they don't acquire it, still, even though they're not the Shutfin in it, but more than one child cannot do Tamura. Now that mask of Yaakov Menapakoid, he says, El Me'at, but if that's the case, that's how you're expounding this Pasuk, as we just said, of Imham Yamer. So Gabe Meiser Dechsev, so take the halachas of Meiser, where it says a Pasuk in Vayikra, it says, Vim Goyal Yigal, if redeem, he will redeem, which the Pasuk there concludes, Vayikra Chav Zayin Laman Aleph, Ishmi Meiser, any person from his a tenth of his the produce which is given as Meiser. So if he wants to redeem it, the halachas Chamishisa Yesuv Lav, he has to add on a fifth more to the principle when he wants to redeem it back. Now, what's the redundant terminology? Is Larabbis as a Yarish. What that does, it includes the inheritor, where if, let's say, he wants to redeem his father's Meiser, he also has to add on a fifth of the principal. On that, as the Gemara, Hachanami Echad Goel Vein Shnayim Goel, and you're going to tell me that only one inheritor could redeem his father's Meiser and have the halach of adding a fifth, but not two? We don't find such a thing. Let's say, no, Shani Meiser. Meiser is different. The Gabi Avu and Nami Isa B'Shutfis. Because even by the father, it's applicable with a partnership. In other words, we don't find that there's an exclusion of partnership of redeeming Meiser Sheni, which is the second type, which is the pasuk that we're talking about of Meiser that's brought up to Yerushalayim and Eden over there. If a person doesn't want to bring it all up, that's when he redeems it and he has to add on a fifth. So if even the father could do it by Shutvis and give the fifth, so too the inheritors. In contrast, by Tamur, the reason is the whole parasha is said in the singular. And that we said, even if, let's say, they're not the actual owners and they're not the partners, but it has to be only singular. And even though the pasuk includes a Yarish, it's saying only a singular Yarish and not double Yarish. However, Amalei Ravasi Ravashi, he asked, well, imina. Well, then from this point itself, I want to ask. If you say, as we had originally asked, which the Gemara is trying to answer, to say that it's not difficult, why didn't Rish Lakish ask on Rabbi Lazar that what's he telling him? That we want to say that, what I mean, there is a Ritzu. Rish Lakish could have responded that back to Rabbi Lazar, even Lachamisa, which Ritzu is the Yershim's Ritzu, and that would only be based on if the Yershim inherited. So in that, he said, well, if you say Bishlem Kanyeluhu that the Yershim do inherit it, like we're asking, Hainu Dechad Miyamemer. So then we could understand at least why one of them could go ahead and do the Tamura. Because, yeah, the Pasuk says only one could do it, has to be in the singular. But if they acquire it, so they're the owners, and if they're the owners, then they could do the Tamura. Eliyamer Likanyulu, but if you're saying, as you're answering, that no, the Yarshan do not inherit it, they don't own it, and therefore that's why there's no Ritza for them, and therefore there's no Ritza for anyone. So therefore Reb Lazar was correct in saying that even though there's no Ritza, it's going to be sacrificed as we find Lachamisa. But then the question is, then Hechememer, then how is it possible that the Yairish will do Temura, as we see from the drasha we mentioned before, but V'amr B'vo Amr B'yechanan, regarding a case of where a person took a vow to bring a carbon. Now his friend went and designated his own animal to provide atonement for his friends who took the neder. Now that carbon then develops a blemish, so you can't bring it as a mazik carbon. So you have to deconsecrate it, meaning wait till to sell it and use the money to buy a new carbon. So that's a Rabbi Yechanan. If hamakdish, if the friend who designated the animal to sanctify it from his own animals for his friend who took the neder, he's the one who's being mechallel, meaning he's the one who wants to go ahead and deconsecrate it. So then Moisef Chaimish, he has to then add on a fifth to the principal in exchange for the new animal that's going to be bought with that. In contrast, if let's say the one who's getting atoned it would be mechallel, he actually would not add on a fifth, because the pasuk makes contingent who's the one that has to add on a fifth is the one that's makdish, the one who sanctified it. Who's the one who's makdish this animal? The friend, not the one who took the neder. As the pasuk says in the Bukhar of Zion, says v'im hamakdish yigalas beisai. If the one who is makdish it redeems his house, then v'yosef chamishasai. So too, a pasuk says v'im gol yigalas asada hamakdish aisai. The one who's makdish it, he, when it comes to redeem, has to add on a fifth. That's one halacha. Moreover, u'miskaper aisai timura. The one who's getting the atonement, I mean the one who took the vow, he's the one who makes temura, because he's considered the owner of this carbon, although he was not the one who separated, it was makdashit. But if let's say he would do temura, then it would be considered temura, as the Gemara learns in the first Perek of Masechtas Temura. A third halacha, says Rabbi Yechanan, ba'atayrim, someone who separates truma, mishaloi, from his own grain, al, on the pile of grain shel chaveri, which needs to have truma separated, he takes from his own to be valid for his friend. So then, toivis hana shaloi, the thanks of the rights of the who gets to decide where it goes is of the one who is separated, meaning although he did it for his friend, but he who took from his own grain, he said, no, I'll give truma for you. The one who separated, he could give it to whichever kohen he wants to. Why is it called taibus anah, the goodness of the benefit? Because if let's say a Yisrael comes and tells this guy, says, look, I'll give you a certain amount of money, do me a favor, give you a truma, which you can give it to any kohen, give it to the son of my daughter, who he's a kohen, because my daughter married a kohen. So that selah is a taibus anah of who does it go to the one who was mafresh. And the Gemara there learns out, we know from a pasuk that says, kol maisa tibu askam nasata, meaning whoever was the one who was mafresh from his tfua, it's in his hand to decide who to give it to. So there were three halachas Rabbi Yechanan taught over here, but the middle one is the one that we're asking from. We see that only the one who gets the kapara, who gets the atonement, which is only if you're the owner, he's the one that makes a temura. So we're back to the question. If you say, like we were asking all along, that the Yarshim are going to get the Ritzui, and that's why Rish Lakish could have answered that back to Rabbi Lazar, and that would be if you say that is kaina, so then that would make sense why Rabbi Yechanan said in the other halacha that the Yarshim could do temura, because they actually own it, and they're the miskaprim. They get Ritzui. But if you're saying that the Yerushim are not Kaina, so they're not the Miskaprim, they're just going to bring it. They're the one, let's say, that would be taking their father's Safrash and bringing it. But if they're not the Miskaprim, so how they can make Temura? And that answers the Gemara, no, Mekiva Loi Mechapra. A permanent atonement to be considering the inheritors, like the real owners, no, that they don't have. And therefore, yes, by Karban Mincha, it's kosher for them to bring it because they're not partners, because they don't acquire it. But mikufi mekapra, but a floating atonement, meaning a peripheral atonement, that they do have, because ultimately they are bringing their fathers, and that's why they could go ahead and do a temura, because they are considered a miskapra, and therefore we could still remain with the answer the Gemara gave to their question, that no, they're not the ones who are kainit. They're not going to get Ritzui. And that's why Rabbi Lazar was correct in being a ride from Lachamisa, where there's no Ritzui, not for the one who passed away, and not for the Yershim. And that's why the same thing, since they're not the Yershim, therefore by Mincha, they don't own it. They're the Yershim, but they don't own it, and therefore they could bring the Mincha, because it's not considered that of Shutfin. However, there is some peripheral type of atonement, because they are bringing their father's carbon, and therefore that would be enough to say that they're considered from the Miskaprim to make a Temur, so it's somewhere in the middle. But again, that still retains the Gemara's answer for the question, why they're not the ones who acquire it, and therefore there's no Ritzah for them, and therefore Rabbi Lazar was correct in telling Rish Lakish that I have a precedent regarding all the other Karbanas, that it's not going to have Ritzah, not for the one that passed away, not for the Yarshin, and still it's going to be Karav, so too Shalai Lishma, where although there's not going to be Ritzah, it's still going to be brought as a carbon, and therefore your question is flawed in asking that if there's no Ritzui, it should not be allowed to be brought.